my words and thoughts be pleasing unto thee, O Lord. Amen. Please. Well, today's lessons are hard to hear. Today's gospel is hard to hear. He's not demanding only to conform to God's word or God's commandment from the, in the outside in our lives, but it's demanding from us to conform to God's word inward, in spirit, in attitude, in thought, in motion. No wonder that the colleague said, you know, he was great, so to be able to please thee in deed and will, both. Not only what we do, but what we will, what we want, what we desire, what we dream about. And it's hard to hear the gospel today, because Deuteronomy, the first lesson, is saying clearly, if you do not comply to my commandments, well, unless you do comply with them, you won't be saved. Again, no wonder why they call it, in light of the gospel, today's gospel, and the first lesson, is asking for God's grace. And of course, we're given more hope when in the second lesson, in Corinthians, you could read that it is God, the one who makes things grow through grace, through the Holy Spirit. Like, yes, there is one who plants, one who seeds, you know, put the seeds in the ground, one who takes care of the ground, prepares it before the season, and takes care of the plants and the field and water them or whatever. But at the end of the day, as the lesson says, the one who makes it grow is God, by grace, through the Holy Spirit. So therein lies our hopes to be able to actually somehow comply with God's will and God's word. So you see, not only about what we do or we don't, even it's not only about what we say or what we do not say, it's about something deeper than that. It's about our dreams, our hopes, our fears. Do our fears, our hopes and dreams, do they conform to God's will? Are we able? We will. Are we ever be able to be able to comply, to comply and to match our life to God's word and God's will? Well, at face value, looking at today's gospel and the demand it has for us, well, there wouldn't be that much hope, wouldn't it? But in the Holy Spirit, in God's grace, then in Jesus Christ, we always will be able to. It's hard this to understand for modern mind. We have a tendency to view things only the material reality. We have a tendency to believe that reality is what we can touch and measure and see and feel with our senses. We have a tendency to believe that we are able to grasp this reality with our reason, with our intellect. We believe we are better and smarter than ancient people, and yet, as the lesson, as today's gospel says, you know, ancient people, in ancient times, well, let me tell you something. As a historian, I have a tendency to believe, and you just read history, get deep into it, and you will discover that ancient people were probably smarter, far smarter than we are. Because they knew that reality is more than we can see. Reality is is the spiritual realm, that this material reality is only a reflect of the essence of reality. They would actually admit that the reality is wider, deeper, bigger than what we can see, touch, or even understand with our reason and with our intellect. They knew that. And therefore, we have in the church tradition, we have ways that God has led us into developing to shape our ways, to shape our spirit, to shape our mind, to shape our souls, to help us to discipline our souls, to tame, to master our emotions, our thoughts, even our desires, our fears, our dreams. Just like an athlete is able to train his body by exercising constantly, so we have in our tradition, in the apostolic tradition, in the church, we have the same mechanism, the same means to tame, to master our emotions, our thoughts, our dreams, our desires. Well, not only by repeatedly listening to God's word in the Bible, but by, let's say, singing, by praising God, by praying, and indeed by participating in the liturgy, by looking at the liturgy, by allowing the liturgy to surround us, to embrace us. You see, it's not about reasoning, it's not about intellect, it's about allowing the liturgy, the ritual, the singing, the voices of the choir, the music, the words, to actually not speak into our mind and intellect, but to our soul. And that's incomprehensible, that we cannot grasp intellectually. It just happens. It's like when God through grace makes the plant grow. You can't explain that intellectually. You just have to live it. You see, ancient people and ancient Christians, they understood that in order for us to get to know God, it was not through intellect. It was not through knowledge. It was not through information. It wasn't through logic. It was by ways of sharing your life with God. It's like, you know, if you want to know someone, really, it's more about living with the person rather than reading about the person, or asking about the person, or questioning the person. You know, for example, people, after 30 years of being a priest, and after years of being a bishop, you know, people say, oh, Bishop, you're a wonderful person. You know, the way you talk, the way you speak, and your wisdom, and your knowledge, and blah, 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 blah. Your pastoral stance, proactivity to people, your stance against this, and against racism, and against discrimination, against LGBTQ brothers and sisters, and so on, and so on. And all these wonderful things. And my wife would say, well, you got to live 1 week with him, and then you tell me. You tell me how wonderful it is. You get to live with someone. You get to know the person. And anyone married knows this, right? But, and even to knowing yourself, when you live, when you share your life with someone, then you really start to know yourself. I got married when I was 38. Before I got married, I thought of myself being the most altruistic and nicest guy on the planet. After I got married, I was like, oh my gosh. you discover yourself, you even learn about it. You get to know yourself through sharing with the other, through living with the other. That's the way we know each other. So the ancient people knew that actually the best way to get to know God was to actually share your life with God, to allow God to enter into your life and to live with God. And as the ancient tradition says, and the scripture itself says, you know, God is love. If you have love in your heart, you have God living within you, and you move within the confines of love in whatever you do and say and think and feel, then you're living with God because God is love. They knew that. And they understood this. More than they understood this, they lived this. And maybe, let me summarize this in a conceptual way. Right? It was not an epistemological relationship with God, an intellectual relationship with God through a book or through knowledge. It is a ontological relationship with God, meaning it's a personal, a real living relationship with God. And that's the way God transforms us through the Holy Spirit. That's the way in liturgy, constantly, by you coming here every Sunday and experiencing the liturgy and the colors and the ritual and the words and the music and the voices and the prayer, then God is touching you through the Holy Spirit. Then we are able, not with our own efforts, human efforts, but thanks to the Holy Spirit, through grace in the Holy Spirit, we are able to be saved by God's Holy Spirit through the liturgy, through the prayer, through the listening of God's word. We are saved in grace through the Holy Spirit, through grace, through the Holy Spirit, so that we are little by little becoming more like Christ. And so therefore we will be able to, in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, to be more like Christ and please God in will and deed, as the calling is asking today. May God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit keep working in each one of us so that we are more Christ-like to the world. Amen. Amen.